In the fifth verse, it said, in the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. On Sunday, July 21st, 2024, President Joe Biden made a very special breaking news and historical announcement that stunned many people when he announced that he would not seek re-election. And then he stated that he's recommending and is fully backing Vice President Kamala Harris to be the Democratic nominee for president. Immediately on one side, there was a great jubilation from a multitude of people, including me. Not at the announcement that he would not seek re-election, but the announcement of the potential of the coming president, Kamala Harris. On the other side, there were great disdain of the announcement of the potential coming president. The one side was complaining, talking about how she is incompetent and only received the job as a DEI. You know what that is, diversity, equity, and inclusion. While the other side listed her accomplishments and achievements. Stay with me, church. As I watched and listened to the different responses, Sister Portia, and how they grew either with joy, excitement, or great expectation, or with contempt and hatred. And I began to think about how all these different emotions, feelings, and responses happened at the announcement of a potential presidential candidate. And then my mind began to think, just imagine the response at the announcement of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords coming. One side would express great jubilation and excitement and joy, while the other side will express disdain, contempt, hatred, and utter unrest. The days appear dark for those who long for righteousness. And if the word of God is to be taken as accurate, still darker days loom before us. Even those who ignore what God has given in his word are increasingly uneasy when contemplating what lies before us in the future. Wickedness abounds. Righteousness is openly ridiculed. National leaders brazenly redefine righteousness so that what is good and noble is ridiculed as out of date. And as I always say, there is an invisible line drawn between truth and lies. Come on, church. Can I just take my time a moment? There is an invisible line that is drawn between truth and lies. We find that the godly are verbally assaulted. And frankly, we are no longer surprised when mockery turns physical. Deacons, the assaults witnessed are increasingly violent. Even political leaders, even they acknowledge the faith, they are unrestrained and using the churches as a prop. Come on, somebody. And if there is ever a time in the history of mankind where people are anticipating, longing, and hoping for a change, not only in America, but the world over, right now is that time. So today I want to make a very special breaking news announcement. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a hand writing on the wall. Daniel 5 begins by saying Belshazzar, the king, made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords. And then the text deals with an unusual episode that took place on the last night of King Belshazzar, the last king of Babylon. Right through the middle of the city, he was celebrating and honoring gods that were made by hand. But Belshazzar, the king of Babylon, was a worthless wretch. That's what the Bible says. Belshazzar was a wicked, ruthless, and godless king. As a matter of fact, Belshazzar is the only king in the Bible that the Bible has nothing good to say about. And you know, church, is bad when you live a whole life and are gone and nobody has a good thing to say about you. Am I right about it? You know, in our world today, you have a lot of folk who live and that is all they do, just live. The Bible records Methuselah having lived 969 years. But in all those years, all the Bible says is that he died. Nothing good could be said of Belshazzar. He profaned even the sacred. The Lord's house is sacred, church. In church, the seats upon which you sit are sacred. The instruments that our musicians play are sacred. The lights are sacred. And certain things ought not to be done in and around them because they are sacred. Am I right? Even the water fountain in the bathrooms are sacred. So Belshazzar bought sacred vessels that belongs in the Lord's house, to his banquet hall, to his party. And Belshazzar and his guests desecrated, profaned, and unhallowed that which was sacred, holy, and divine. The Bible says that when Belshazzar had those holy vessels brought into his banquet hall, they filled them with wine and gave a toast and sang praises to six gods. They drank to the god of wood, the god of stone, the god of bronze. They drank to the god of iron and gold and silver. And nowhere in their praise was there any mention of the Lord God Jehovah, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. There was no mention of one true and living God. And you know, anything that's going on and God isn't in it, it's best that you get out of it. Belshazzar left God out. And God can give you a whole lot and you think you're something. And you think God is nothing. And see, this is what's wrong with the world today. In too many instances and on too many occasions, we have left God out. There's no reason why the pastors ought to try to pump you up to praise God. There's no reason why ministers ought to be putting on programs just to get you to come out. Come on, somebody. But wait a minute. Why they whined and dined, cussed and fussed, as they joked and jested when the party was at its peak and everybody was high, all of a sudden, somebody say all of a sudden, the music stopped playing. The noise died down, deacon. Feet that had been shuffling across the ballroom floor stood still. Plates started cracking. Wine bottles started falling. And all of a sudden, the peacocks stopped strutting. Hallelujah, somebody. All of a sudden, the laughter ceased and joke telling stopped. And fingers stopped popping. For the Bible says, in that same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand. And he began to write against the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. In that same hour. Are you with me, church? Yes. Brothers and sisters, there are certain hours in your life when you must be ever so careful. The Bible says, in that same hour, there came forth the fingers of a man's hand. And in that same hour, you know God will always have the last word. Can I get an amen in here? Don't worry about what you're hearing and what you're seeing. God will always have the last word. Wherever you find sin, wherever you find natural decay, you do not need a prophet to point out the handwriting on the wall. For the deeper the sin, the closer the judgment. Are you with me, church? The deeper the sin, the closer the judgment. In the case of Belshazzar, we see the sin and judgment side by side, back to back. In the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand. And yes, this is the way it was with old Belshazzar. However, it did not always been this way with us, right? God does not always intrude upon us like he did Belshazzar. He doesn't always crash our parties, am I right? Or interrupt our get down celebration of eating and drinking and being merry. But sometimes God lets the party go on for years. Can I say that again? Sometimes sometimes God lets the party go on for years. But judgment is always going on. Come on, somebody. And the verdict examines us every day. Our cases are prosecuted every day. And like Belshazzar, we observe without even knowing it. Without our being aware of it, the cosmic court is trying our case every day. And God will never leave himself without a witness. Can I get an amen in here? So we see why Belshazzar parted. In that same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand. And yes, this was an unusual sight to behold. For they all had probably seen a hand without fingers, but they never had seen a finger without a hand. The Bible says in that same hour, nothing but fingers. There was no big pen and no paper mate, no Parker pen, just fingers. No chalk, no paintbrush, just fingers. No hand, no wrist, no arm, just fingers. No shoulder, no head, nobody, just the fingers of a man's hand. And yes, God, our God, with his fingers, crashed Belshazzar's party. And God did not come to Belshazzar's party in the flesh of zing, zang, lightning. He did not come in the sound of an erupting volcano, the pealing of a thunder, an earthquake. But it came across the purple mountain of eternity with a long, powerful arm. Turned old Belshazzar's wall into stationery and his fingers into a writing pen and began to write a telegram on the wall. Come on, somebody. Can somebody give God some glory in the house? When Belshazzar saw the handwriting on the wall, his countenance was changed, Reverend Lucas. His mind got confused. Belshazzar's face was blank. His slobbering lips began to tremble. Sound familiar? His knees started knocking. And that holy vessel that he held on to fell with a loud crash on the marble tile. The question I have this morning is, why is it that Belshazzar became so terrified and so alone? He could not read the writing, so he didn't know what it meant. Am I right? Since he was a worshiper of the gods of wood and stone and silver, why couldn't the handwriting on the wall have been some favorable message of good tidings from the gods in whom he believed? But Belshazzar did not entertain such thoughts. Instead, a terrible dread took hold of him. Terror and trembling seized his flesh. And I wonder why. Why was he so perplexed and distressed? The reason Belshazzar was so frightened at the sight of the handwriting on the wall was because of that little God-given monitor in all of us called a conscience. We all have a conscience. I know some folk look like they don't have a conscience, but there is a conscience somewhere downside. Belshazzar had a guilty conscience. And you know a guilty conscience have a way of making a coward out of you. I can't get no help in here. And whenever a person is in sin, he or she is afraid of anything he or she doesn't understand. Conscience is a ghost that writes upon our walls. Conscience is a ghost that none of us can shut out. And brothers and sisters, when you do something wrong, nobody has to tell you. Nobody has to tell you that you are a disgrace to your face. You already know it. Am I right? As a matter of fact, you're the first one to know it. Won't your conscience bother you, church? Won't your sins find you out? Come on and tell the truth and shame the devil. So now when Belshazzar saw the handwriting on the wall, it was obviously his guilty conscience caused him to be afraid. And he knew he had done something wrong. But after a while, when King Belshazzar half regained his composure, still being startled, he became concerned about what the handwriting on the wall meant. And Belshazzar, none of his lords, none of his wives or concubines knew what the handwriting on the wall meant. Belshazzar called in all of his astrologers, all of his people, come on somebody, and said to them, can you read the handwriting on the wall? The astrologers looked at the writing and said, Your Majesty, we are sorry, but we cannot read the handwriting on the wall. If it had been a star on the wall, we could tell you what it means. If it had been one of the signs of Zodiac, we could tell you. But, oh, King, to our regret, we cannot read the handwriting on the wall. So Belshazzar said, whoever read for me the handwriting on the wall, our clothing was clothes of scarlet. Am I right about it? He brought in the Chaldeans and said to them, can you read the handwriting on the wall? The soothsayers and none of the Babylonian wise men could read the hand on the wall. There wasn't even a debate about it. Come on, somebody. Nobody could read the writing on the wall. Now, as I get ready to close, I won't be here long. Now, one of the school of thought suggested that as it is related to the handwriting on the wall, the mysterious thing about it is not that they did not know what the words were saying. The astrologers and Chaldeans and wise men of Babylon could all decipher the strange words, but none of them could give the meaning of the interpretation. You understand? They knew what the word said, but they didn't have the meaning. In other words, when they said they could not read them writing, it meant they could not read it with understanding. So God had written to them in their own language, but they could not make sense of four apparently unrelated terms. Mina, Mina, Tekel, Euphrasim. What could that mean? Numbered, numbered, weighed, divided. No wonder Belshazzar was almost delirious, demanding who can read the handwriting on the wall. Belshazzar asked again, who will and who can read for me? So the queen mother got a hold of what was going on. She heard about the news that was going on in the party room. So when they found Daniel, she said, I know somebody that can interpret the words. So when they found Daniel, he was no doubt old now. Belshazzar, Daniel brought in and asked him if he could read the writing on the wall. Daniel, if you read the writing on the wall, I give you clothes of scarlet. I put a chain around your neck. I make you a third ruler of the kingdom. Now tell me, Daniel, can you read the writing on the wall? Daniel said, yes, king. I can read the writing on the wall. For it's not strange language to me, because it's my father's writing. Are you with me? And every child knows his father's writing. He said, king, I don't want your gold chain. I don't want your clothes. You see, king, I'm God's man. And I don't have to be bought or bribed to tell you the truth. The whole truth and nothing but the truth. Can I make it even clearer? I'm God's woman. And I don't have to be bought or bribed. Come on, somebody. To tell you the truth and nothing but the truth. Do I have a witness in the house? Where the Bible says Daniel went on to tell Belshazzar, king, God is tired of your evil, your wicked and godless ways. You, king, have worshipped and given praise and glory to the gods of silver and gold and wood. And the God in whose hand is thy breath, thou hast not glorified. Every breath you breathe is not your own. And you know, New Providence, we are guilty of the same thing. Like Belshazzar. Come on, somebody. We separate ourselves from God. And we live as though there is no God. As if God does not exist. We talk as if God does not hear us. Come on, somebody. We do dirt as if God does not see us. We live as though we are not dependent upon God. And whenever he gets ready, he can snap from us our lives without a moment's notice. So we live, we move, and we have our being in him. So Daniel said, O king, the Lord is telling you this handwriting on the wall that the day of reckoning is at hand. Oh, I'm afraid today, church, as we stop and see the signs of the times, we must attest to the fact that the handwriting is on the wall. Stop and see that America is in a serious time of crisis. Most of us can easily see that. The crisis poses a serious question as to what we should do now. This tells me that a handwriting is on the wall. So as we look at how the natural resource of our world is turning out, and the experts predict that in a few years we won't be able to sustain the way we live, then the handwriting is on the wall. When brazen lies and death threats are made to a community of innocent Haitians in Springfield, Ohio, about eating cats and dogs, the handwriting is on the wall. So Daniel said to Belshazzar, yes, I can read for you the handwriting on the wall. Meaning, to carry you for seen. O king, the days of thy kingdom and the days of thy life has been numbered. Thou hast been weighed in the balance of God, found wanting. The kingdom will be divided and will be given to the Medes and the Persians. And at that same night, somebody say the same night, Babylon fell and Belshazzar lost his life. Am I right about it? So yes, friends, God examines us all. And every day of our lives, we are being weighed in the balance of God. And I'm afraid that many of us are going to be found wanting. We are not tall enough in our praise. We are not way enough in our worship. I mean, we are mighty puny on commandments. We are anemic on love. We are short on our concern for one another. Some of us are weak on commitment to the church. We are sick on stewardship. We've been weighed in the balance of God and found wanting. already forces at work to silence our voices. How long will we be able to claim our God? Choir members, you are singing all right, but don't be found wanting. Ushers and deacons, teachers and preachers, pastors and preachers and ministers, we're going to have to stand before God to be weighed. The game is over. Somebody say the game is over. You can't wait 99 because 99 and a half won't do. But you got to make 100. Come on, somebody. That day when we all must stand before God and every knee has to bow and every tongue will confess. Can I say I did my best, Lord, that I tried? Well, as I get ready to take my seat, I want to remind you that the handwriting is on the wall. And see, you and I know what it says. Come on, somebody. I don't know how the world events will play out on the stage. We truly don't know how this coming election will play out. Whether Kamala Harris will make history and become not only the first female president of the United States and a woman of color, or if Donald Trump and MAGA will once again stun us and win it again. Yes, I said it. I know how I'm praying and I'm voting. And I'll leave here not worried about anything. Come on, somebody. The days are getting short and the nights are getting longer. But I'm not worried about a thing. Martin Luther King says, I'm not worried. Come on, somebody. About anything. God, all I can say is I know one thing for sure. And that is that God sent his son. They called him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. And if the grave is there to prove my Savior lives. So because he lives, we can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know who holds the future. And life is worth living because he lives. That, my friends, is breaking news. Let us stand.
We know that you have been blessed through the hearing of God's Word on this day. We invite you to join us at New Providence Missionary Baptist Church, located at 4813 Hilltop Needmore Road, Fuquay's Arena, North Carolina. For more information, you can contact our ministry at 919-552-3531 or visit our website at www.newprovidencebaptist.com. Thank you for joining us. And be blessed.